You and we have already had so much fun right here. And you say fun? Yeah, church is supposed to be fun, because I want to tell you, when you walk out of this building this morning, I'm telling everybody here, would you, as you walk out, would you turn around and look at the big picture of Jesus that's in the foyer? Because it's a laughing Jesus. And I want to tell you, that's very, very important in my life, because the Lord has shown me a lot of joy in the midst of sorrow. He can bring you up and show you His joy. And His joy is greater than just a happy happening. That's what most people know on the earth, is a happy happening. Well, I want to tell you, there's something greater than that, and it's Jesus' joy. And so you, as you go out today, turn around and look at the laughing Jesus, because there's a lot of joy around Him and still is. A lot of joy in the house because of the Lord. I love you so much. Okay? I'm supposed to talk about those, thank those who give online. And so this is what I'm doing right now. This is not in my notes. But I want to tell you, my staff, they encourage me, you know, and I need help. But I want to thank you for all those that give online. We appreciate it. Some of you go to our little giving app. I can't explain how to do that. That's above my head. And there's also a Give Now button or something. Well, I like that one. That would be fun. But I want to tell you, thank you for doing that, because we're good soil for you to sow into, because we minister. We've got churches and pastors we minister to. We've got a precious school on campus that we want to be a blessing to. Amen. And we minister to people. And I want to tell you, and right now, you know, we have a need. And this is not a pull the heartstring. You know, we don't do that kind of emotional style giving. We just announce that we're excited about the Lord providing for new air conditioning in this building. And we need about $8,500. And I want to tell you what we're doing. We're praising God for it. Because Scripture says to ask with thanksgiving. And the reason we ask with thanksgiving and not with moaning and groaning is because we believe and trust that the Lord is our supply. And when you ask and receive by faith, you go ahead and say thank you before it shows up. That's Bible. That's faith. And so is there anyone here that want to join me by giving God thanks for air conditioning? Amen? All right, all right. Thank you for doing that, because that allows me, anybody ready for the Word? Because that's really what I want to get into. And this is part 7 of a series. We're actually going to finish this up today. Yeah, there's a few people of faith in the building. Okay, I'm real excited about the next series, and I can't even tell you about it. I'd start preaching on it. So you just have to be here next week for the new series that we're kicking off that will really have impact on your life. The Lord showed me this early in life, and I've never gotten over it, okay? I'm just going to tell you a little story to kick off this triple anointing. And you say, well, what is triple anointing? Well, I hope you understand it by the time this sermon's over with. You may have wondered all through this series, well, what does that mean? We're getting to it today. Amen. But I'm going to tell you a little story. I had been requested to go preach at a place, and just a few hours from here. So I started there on a Sunday night and was going to preach through the week. And when I got there on Sunday afternoon, a couple hours before church started, the pastor had told me, he said, come on in. He said, we're having an elders meeting. And I said, oh, I don't really like those. I'll just stay out and give me an office where I can just pray and study. No. He said, I want you in the elders meeting. You're going to like it. I said, okay, I'm under your authority. All right, I'm coming. And I go in there, and what they were doing was watching the Cowboy game. I kid you not. Well, you know, I got football in my background, okay? My boys played college ball, so I don't have any problem with that. I sat down in there and joined right on in. And I want to tell you, they were having so much fun, because the Cowboys were winning. They were having so much fun, not like last night, but no, they were having so much fun. But they were shouting and hollering and cheering and carrying on. And I'm thinking, man, I'm going to have fun at this church tonight. This is the leadership, and man, they having a good time. I can't wait till we get into church service. And sure enough, we get into church service, and they start out, and I was shocked, because you'd have thought we were at a funeral. And I'm looking around, I'm thinking, wait a minute, the leadership of this church was so free and cheering and excited about the Cowboys, and they come in here about Jesus, and they act like he's dead. Now, I got an announcement to make. Jesus died, but he rose again. And what he did on the cross paid the price for us to be free. Now, I want to tell you, there's a lot to rejoice in. And I saw last night as I was kind of going through some channels, because I'm trying to gear down to take a nap before I see you this morning. And so, I saw it, the game was on, and I was reminded about this story and how that, you know what, whatever's happening at a Cowboy game, I'm talking about legal, whatever's happening at a Cowboy game as far as cheering and carrying on, that ought to be happening in the house of God. Because I want to tell you, the Cowboys are temporary, but Jesus is real, and he's eternal. And I want to tell you, he loves for us to celebrate him. He loves for us to celebrate him. And what an honor it is to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to tell you, so anyway, this was kind of touching to me and kind of, shocked me about how this took place. But what I'm telling you is that it's great to receive from the Spirit of God the joy of Jesus. Now look, it's called the fruit of the Spirit for a reason. Because the fruit of the Spirit means it's the Holy Spirit that manifests the joy of Jesus in your life. Jesus paid for it. The Holy Spirit helps you. He's your coach, according to the Bible. He's your umpire. He's your coach. He's your attorney, the one that stands beside you. He's your counselor. He's your GPS that God's given you right here on the inside. If you know Christ, he's dwelling in you. And he will coach you, be your life coach, to coach you into how to walk in and to receive the joy and the peace and the love of Jesus. Is that good news? And so I want to tell you, we got to learn how to receive of him, how to listen to the coach, how to tune in, all right, and how to receive. So this is very, very important. And so this is why I've done this series on triple anointing. It's talking about the Holy Spirit and how that he wants and desires to be an active part of our lives. And you say, well, I don't understand the terminology. It's not about terminology. Okay, look, it's very, very important to me that you know how to receive of the Lord. Because it's the Lord's desire to love on you and to fellowship with you and to be an active part of your life. And the Holy Spirit coaches us in how to do that. The Lord wants it. When you want it, it's on. And you can just turn your heart toward him. It's not a complicated thing. It's not something we have to earn or work up or deserve, because Jesus paid for it. None of us deserve it. Jesus paid for it, so we get it. And I just want to announce this to you, that it's very, very important that we receive of him. Now, I know different groups out here are more concentrated on giftings and that kind of thing. And, you know, giftings are good. I'm if it's a gift, it's good. And so I'm not against any giftings. But I want to tell you, it's more important that we focus on the giver than the gifting. You understand that you could focus on something in the hand and miss the heart. But I want to tell you, when you are focusing on the giver, you have whatever's in the hand when you have the heart. You understand that? And so it's very, very important that we know how to receive. And with me, I want to tell you, the greatest benefit of the Holy Spirit is power to live the life. If you try to live the Christian life without his power, I want to tell you, you're a miserable person. Okay? You're a frustrated person. Let me go ahead and announce it a little clearer. You're a defeated person. But I want to tell you, we don't do what we do by our own strength for God. We learn how to receive. See, Christians are not achievers, they're receivers. And when we learn how to receive, this is part of the discovery. Why you're still here and not in heaven right now is that he wants you to learn how to be an overcomer. Okay, a more than conqueror, because he paid the price for it. We learn how to receive. And so he wants you to receive. Now look, I don't care how loud you shout in church. I just want to see how you do when you have the opportunity to pout on the outside. Okay? I don't care how high you jump. Well, we got room in the back for that. Okay, I don't care how high you jump. I want to see how the way you walk outside the church. Hey, it's all right to say amen and praise the Lord at the house here, but I want to know how you talk at your house. Because I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit gives us power to live the life. And so there's too many Christians that talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. It's because they don't know how to receive the power. God designed you to walk in His power. He would not encourage us and charge us and challenge us to do what He wants us to do on this earth and to be what He wants us to be without the power to accomplish that. Are you with me? All right, well, I can preach a little faster then. And so, look, how are you in the marketplace? How are you at work? How are you when you're driving? I know why you're laughing. Look, it's not based on any emotions. Now, I want to tell you, it's no doubt the Lord loving on you and ministering to you will give you godly emotions. There are godly emotions that come with being loved and His joy and His peace. That's beautiful. Nothing wrong with that. But what I want to know is, do you recognize that you still have the power and the love and the joy and the peace of Jesus Christ when your emotions are opposite? Okay? When you don't feel love, are you going to believe what your emotions are saying, or are you going to go back to the Word of God and believe the truth? Because I want to tell you, your emotions, your circumstances, your emotions are temporary. Hey, according to the Bible, they're carnal. And carnal means fleshly. It's of the human level. But you're not limited to the human level. If you're having an emotion that you're not loved and you're lonely, I'm just going to announce something to you. Your emotions are wrong. And the truth is that Jesus said He will never leave you nor forsake you. And so even though you can feel like you're alone, we got to have the power and the love of Jesus in us enough to know that's a lie. And the truth is that He's always with me and will never forsake me. And so when we give agreement on the inside of us to what the Word of God says instead of what our emotion says, then I want to tell you, after a while, our emotion will line up with the Word of God. And I want to tell you what that is. That's victory. That's what Jesus paid for. I understand getting there. Hey, humans get there. I got a little announcement to make. You don't have to stay there if you know Jesus. Because the very power of Jesus is in you, in your spirit. You are a spirit. And when you accept Christ into your life, it's a born-again spirit. It means that spirit, Jesus comes into that spirit by His Spirit. And I want to tell you, it's full-grown Jesus in you. And that spirit is perfect, it's complete. Now your soul, your mind, will, and emotions can still be a mess. Oh, come on, who am I preaching to? You know I'm a mess. I mean, the Lord's not finished with any of us yet. But I want to tell you, transformation takes place when we agree with the Word of God and we learn how to receive out of our spirit, Holy Spirit in our spirit, because it's full-grown Jesus in there. And I want to tell you, it affects our emotions and can affect your physical. Now that's exciting. That's real. And so we can learn that we don't have to stay there. And I want to tell you, as we grow and mature, we can learn that we don't have to go there. And so when that temptation to be depressed and discouraged or mad Come on, I know where I live. When that temptation comes, we can come to the place where we say, uh-oh, recognition here. That's not the Lord. I know this person did me wrong. And, you know, I'd like to let them know how to drive. But I want to tell you, I'm going to submit to the Lord, resist the enemy, and I'm going to receive love for the unlovely. Is that possible? Yeah. Did he pay for that? Yes. And I want to tell you, that's exciting victory. Now, I know different groups use different terminology when it comes to the Holy Spirit. I know this because I've preached in all kind of tags and titles out there. I'm thankful. I still do. I love it. But I've learned that, you know, a lot of times churches are agreeing basically about the same thing. They just have different terminology. And so they want you to call what they call and name what they name. But I want to tell you something. Heaven is not operating by a vocabulary list. I just want to make sure people know how to receive. Because the Lord is more excited about giving than you are receiving. But he has not left you alone, and he has not left you powerless. And he wants to continually fill you, baptize you, overwhelm you, anoint you by his Spirit. You know why? Because we continually need it. And he has made provision. He's not, the anointing is him. It's a person. The filling is him. It's not an event. Okay? It's not an event. It's not a one-time, last-time event. No, that's not right. It's a continual. He loves to continue to bring us into deeper levels of his love, deeper levels of his power. I love to read of the old timers like Jonathan Edwards and Finney, Wesley. But I'll never forget, and it happened to more than one of them, that the people would corner them sometimes and say, well, do you have it? And he'd say, what's it? You know, the Holy Spirit. And he said, he answered, this was Finney. He said, well, it's not it, it's a him. It's a person. It's part of the Trinity that God's given us. Well, do you have the baptism? He said, baptism? He said, why are you saying it's singular? There's more than one. You mean you just got one? I didn't see him shake his head, but it sounded like he did. You just got one? And he turned to him and he said, seek deeper fillings, deeper baptisms, deeper overwhelmings. Because that's what love life does. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot to that. Because you're not getting more of him, but he's getting more of you. Boy, is that exciting? We need that. We need that. Okay. So, his name is Jesus, the anointed one, gives us anointing. I want you to look at Acts 10:38, and I've got to tell you, and I'm going to preach a little faster here, because we want to finish this today, really. But Jesus was fully God and fully man. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, I can't explain it completely either. But that's the way the Bible presents this, is that Jesus was really God, but he was really man. And so he was both. And I want to tell you, he operated on this earth as an example showing us how we're to live. And he didn't come and do his own thing. I know a lot of Christians running around doing their own thing. You're not following Jesus if you're doing that. The example that Jesus was to us is that he said, I don't do anything on my own. I do what the Father is doing. And I say, he didn't even talk on his own. He said, I say what the Father's saying. And so he was a great example for us, but this explains how he operated. He operated like and showing us how we're to operate in the same way he did. Is that too much for you? Okay. Acts 10:38, how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power that come from the Holy Spirit. God anointed and consecrated Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to tell you, that's what he does with us. After you accept Christ, he has an anointing for you, a consecration for you. He wants to give you strength and ability and power from the Holy Spirit. That's clear. Do you see that so far? With strength, ability, and power. And I can just ask you, are you more aware of the strength and the ability and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life or of the weakness, sadness, depression of the flesh? Because the flesh don't bring life. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm just trying to qualify here. Recognize this. And this is what he did with the strength and the ability of the power. Did he just stay in the synagogue and say, praise God? Did he just shout when other people shouted? No. This is what he did with it. He lived a life. How he went about doing good, and in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. Why? Because for God was with him. Now I want to tell you, that's the real essence of the Holy Spirit, is that there is a consciousness that comes that God is with you. Okay. There's a way of being aware of your weaknesses, but more aware of his strength. And when we lean on him, your weaknesses are not enough to hinder the strength of the Lord, because he shows forth his power and his strength even through our weaknesses when we are depending on him. Well, that's the next series. I'm going to move on real quick. But this is what what God did with Jesus through the Holy Spirit is an example and a picture of what he wants to do with us. Now, I want to tell you, there are a lot of people that are being harassed, am I right, and oppressed by the power of the devil. And you may be sitting here looking over the fence and saying, well, that's because of their own choices. Well, I want to tell you, you were there too one day. Let's not forget that. The same mercy and grace that God gave you, he wants to use you to extend his love and grace and mercy through you to people to let them know that what God's done in your life, he can do in their life. Because Jesus came to set people free. And if they're being harassed and oppressed by the devil, I don't care what church they go to or where they are or what they do, Jesus wants to set them free because he loved them so much that he paid for them just like he loved you and paid for you. Okay. I guess I'm more excited about that than you are, because I want to tell you that's a beautiful picture. So do you want to increase in the flow with Jesus in your life? Do you want to increase in anointing? Because Father wants this for you. And by grace, we can receive his desire for more. I'm asking in the name of Jesus for the Spirit of God to ignite something deep in your heart that there's more for you. That he paid for more for you on the cross than you're walking in. And he's given us Holy Spirit to teach us and show us how to walk in greater levels of freedom. This brings them honor and glory. This touches people's lives. So we need to take time and give attention to seeking him. And you know what we need? See, I saw this the other day because for the first time in so long this summer, in 100-degree temperatures we've been experiencing in this part of Texas and the drought that we in, there came a little rain. Did you get any of that? We got a little rain. And I want to tell you, it wasn't enough to really make a difference, really. It was just enough to cause steam. Our windows steamed up. But I want to tell you something. It really hit me. This is the situation and the condition of a lot of Christians, a lot of churches. Am I right? Now, I want to tell you, what we need is not a sprinkling of fresh rain. We need, listen to me, a soaking. You know what we need? Come on. That good old Texas springtime, long time, slow rain that soaks the soil. And what we need is a soaking of his presence. You may be in the season of life, and you know what we need to do? Is just to press in, just to receive of the Lord. And practice his presence And I want to tell you, the Bible says, Jesus said, we have not because we ask not. Hey, I'm telling you, based on the finished works of the cross, he wants you to ask for more. I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound a little bit strong to some people, but I may reinforce it in just a little bit if you stay with me. You're only walking in as much of his presence and his power as you want to. I'm telling you something, it's all been paid for. The much more of God has been paid for your life. But I want to tell you, it will not happen in your life without your cooperation. He will not do it without you. All these people that say, well, if God wanted to, he could do this. He does want to, and he paid the price for it. What heaven's waiting on is for you to say yes. He's waiting on your want to. Ephesians 3:13. We kind of touched on this last week. I'm going to go a little different direction. So I ask you not to lose heart, not to faint or become despondent through fear. And because I want to tell you, and the whole world promotes fear. Man, the fear message on TV makes money. Can I say it any other way? But I want to tell you something. That's why that we got to tune in on Jesus. We got to get in on Jesus' channel, because if you just listen to all the bombardment of the world, you're going to lose heart and become faint, and you're going to be discouraged, and you'll be saying, I don't know how I got here. It's because you took it all in. Through the eye gate and the ear gate, you took it in. Listen to what happens. Because I want to tell you, that junk's negative. I want to tell you something about Jesus. He's positive. Okay, he got hope for you. He got strength for you. He got present help for you. But this is what we see. This is what Paul was saying to them. Some of you have lost heart and got discouraged because you've been having some negative thoughts, some negative fear thoughts about what I'm going through because of my suffering. I want to tell you, that happens. You know, we dealt with a meeting not too long ago where when people gathered, they had been focused on other people's suffering. Now, I want to tell you, you identify, you have compassion, you love them, have mercy, but you can't park there. You can't get down there in the pit with them and just be suffering with them. No, Jesus has paid the price for you to be a helper. The Holy Spirit is your present help, and he will not only give them comfort, because there's a Holy Spirit ministers comfort through you, but he will help you to exhort them and to pull them out of the pit. Now, that's what ministry is. That's what transformation. That's what love looks like. There are people that just agreeing with the empathizing and, oh, just suffering. That's not ministry. Ministry is when you help them step by step out of the pit. I want to just announce this. You cannot focus on the suffering. You got to focus on the healing. That Jesus is the healing. If you focus on the suffering, you're going to be discouraged. If you focus on the healing, you have hope, not just for you, but for them. All right. So it's very, very important. And I'm going to just, let me just explain this real quick, because I got to move on. And the explanation is this, is that those people that are in that pit are receiving grace from God for that pit. He's not giving you grace for their pit. He's giving you grace for your journey. And one of the best things you can do is receive grace for your journey so you can be a help to them. Are you with me? Okay, now that makes a tremendous difference. Okay, so don't faint. He's saying don't faint. All right, Ephesians 3:16, let's look at this. Now, this is a prayer, and I think I'm going to personalize this prayer and get it to you, because it's something that you could confess and pray, and because this is a prayer in the Word of God, and this prayer in the Word of God is God's Word for you. Boy, when you pray the Word, I'm telling you, it's powerful. Okay, Ephesians 3:16, may he grant you, who is talking about the Lord, May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory. Somebody say he's more than enough. He's more than enough for whatever you're facing. He's more than enough for whatever you will face. He's more than enough for whatever you have faced that's still haunting you. He's more than enough. He has a rich treasury of his glory to share with us. And so it's very, very important, believers, that we focus on the supply, not the lack. Treasury of his glory to be strengthened, to be reinforced with mighty power. I'm going to take a time out and tell you about the mighty power. It's the mighty power of God. It's the mighty power of the Holy Spirit in you. And I want to tell you what kind of power it is. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Get this, dwells in you. Now I want to tell you, resurrection power is more than enough power for whatever you face in this journey. We have access to this. We need to learn how to receive it. Practice receiving. That mighty power is resurrection power dwelling in you. Where is it at? On the inside of you, in your spirit, by the Holy Spirit himself, and dwelling in your innermost being. There you are, Pastor Tim. That's what it's saying. Innermost being and personality inside you. Jesus gives you Holy Spirit power. Look at verse 17. May Christ through your faith. Now, it requires faith. You see, this is what I don't like about religion. Religion tells you that you got to do things to get something from God. That's wrong, wrong, wrong. I'll tell you what the gospel is that Jesus did the works for us to receive it. He was the only perfect one. He died and suffered on the cross for our healing, for our victory. What looked like defeat, he took in his place who we are. So we can be, after you receive Christ, we can grow, we can be who he is. You understand victory? I'm trying to show you victory. Okay, this is him. Make Christ through your faith, but it requires faith. It's not by our doing, it's by our believing. Wow. Pastor Tim, are you saying that we're not walking in certain areas because we're not believing? Yes, I am. Yeah, I am. Thank you for saying that, because I am. That's what I'm saying. All right? Look, when you believe the Word helps you live right. When you believe right, you live right. I want to tell you why we're not living right, because we're not believing right. We have agreed with some kind of lie from the liar himself. Oh, that makes me want to preach something else. Okay. Hey, where is this at? May Christ through your faith, see? And you have faith. Actually dwell. This is what he's asking us to do by faith. To settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in our hearts. May you actually abide with Christ. It means to be connected to. To have him make his permanent home in your heart. Now, does this sound like a visit on Sunday? No, it's more than that. Thank you for noticing that. Does this sound like just when you need a 911 from God? No, it's more than that. Thank you for seeing that. But what he's talking about is that you allow him to have home, make home, settle in, abide, permanent abiding in your home. Let Jesus be in charge. May you be rooted. See, this is how we do this. May you be rooted deep in his love and founded securely on his love. And I have been accused before of being the pastor that just preaches love. Well, that's bragging on Jesus. Because I want to tell you, there's nothing that happens in the kingdom of God without it being saturated in his love. Oh, come on. You know it's true. Corinthians says that if you love God so much, you're going to set fire to your own body for a second. No, it's a waste unless it's the love of God. You're going to give more than anybody's ever given. God says, I don't even see it unless it's done out of the love of God. But with the love of God, all things are possible. And we got to see everything that comes into our life, even the Word of God, we got to see it through that filter of Jesus' love. Because he loves us. And he wants us to be rooted deep in his love. You know what our problem is? We're not rooted deep in his love. We're not founded securely in his love. You know what it is? Stuff happens. Stuff comes against your life, and it don't look bad. It looks bad and feels bad, and you say, you hear this voice from the enemy say, see, God don't love you. If God loved you, that wouldn't happen to you. You see, and I want to tell you, it's a lie. But when you are founded securely in deep roots into his love, then I want to tell you, no matter what comes, you say, it don't matter. I'm telling you, it's temporary because Jesus loves me. I'm loved by God. And this is temporary. That makes a difference. I'm going to tell you the little lesson of trees right quick, because in Texas, we've had trees that have been here for decades that laid down. Between Ice-Mageddon, a little over a year ago, all right, between the heat wave, between strong winds. I tell you what, I fish a little bit every spring, but I told the beautiful blonde, I've never seen such a windy spring. And so I want to tell you, between those three things, there have been trees that have been just monuments for decades that lay down. My dad and my brother live in East Texas, just close to Louisiana, East Texas. And all this took place in their place where they live. And there were so many trees that fell down that have been alive for decades, big strong trees, been alive for decades that fell across roads. They couldn't even get out of their community. Now, when I'm there, I'm looking and I'm thinking, that looked like a strong tree that fell down. Why did this tree fall and that one not? Because I could walk around and point to all kind of trees that looked good and strong and big that fell and others did not. Now, I'm just going to be real quick with you. I didn't interview the trees. But I want to tell you something. It spoke to me because you know what? I interview saints. And so aren't you amazed? Aren't we amazed sometime when the same events hit a country or hit a church or hit a community, why some fall and some stand? Well, I want to tell you what the difference is. Same with the trees, the root system. When Ice-Mageddon came, some trees responded by recovering through their root system, and some did not. When the winds came, some root systems got stronger, some got weaker. When the heat came, some root systems got stronger, some got... Are you listening? I want to tell you, according to Psalm 1, verse 3, God's picture of you is that the roots of your life would be going down into the rivers of water, and water is pictured as the Word of God. So if your roots are in the water of the Word of God, the Bible says in Psalm 1, 3, this is you. You meditate and receive as His Word, and guess what happens? Your leaf will not wither. You will produce fruit year-round. That sounds like a victorious Christian. I want to tell you, if God says it in the Word, paid for it, it's for you. You need to see it with your name on it. And let me announce to you, it's not too late. Look at verse 18, that you may have the power. That you may have the power. This is God's will. This is God's way. This is God's word for you. That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend. Man, let's realize the momentum of the Lord's love will lead you into more love. Be strong to apprehend and grasp with all saints. This is God's heart for everybody. If you're listening to me today, I'm telling you, this message is for you. God's desire and dream, His will, His way, and His word is for all the saints to grasp this, to experience that love. What is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of it? Does that sound like more to you? Now, I want to tell you, I know there's a precious little song, and I love it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I want to announce something to you. For this Christian life to be all that God wants it to be, it's got to be more than a song in your head. It's got to be something more than you can parrot. I know God loves me. No, no, no. You got to experience deeper levels of His love. Your roots have got to go deep through His word to His love, where that not only you know it here, but you experience it here. it's got to go this foot. And I'm telling you, this foot is one of the longest distances I've ever seen in humanity. Because people can have the knowledge here and not have the life or the love or the experience of it here. You say, well, Brother Tim, you getting into emotionalism? Well, let's just see what the Word of God says. Verse 19. But understand this, that love is our foundation, our growth, and our victory. And we're to experience more levels of His love than what you know right now. That you may really come to know. Do you see verse 19? That you may really come to know. I want to tell you that word know is the same word used between Adam and Eve. Yeah, that's right. Intimacy. You don't want me to explain that, do you? I don't have time, really. But I want to tell you that's the picture that God wants you to have with Him, to know Him. Look at what it says. Look how the Amplified brings it out. Practically, through experience for yourselves, it's not enough that you have a big mama that says, God loves us. It's not enough that you have a papa that says, God loves us. I want to tell you, you got to personally know deep depths of His love. And it's an exciting journey. It's not a painful journey. It's a love journey. Experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge. Isn't that what I was talking about? Knowledge without experience. This is something you got to personally experience. That you may be filled through all of your being. All of your being. Spirit, soul, and body. And to the fullness of God. Wow. Look how the language brings it out. That you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, I want that. He wants that too. This is how I got the title, Triple Anointing. Sometimes churches would say, hey, let's have a double anointing night. You know, you preach on this Holy Spirit and have a double anointing night. And I know what they're talking about with Elisha and Elijah. But I want to tell you, it always kind of bothered me because I knew this is triple anointing. To be filled with the whole fullness of God. Look, He wants us to practically experience the depth of His love, to receive His power, to receive His fullness. It's connected to His love. Does anybody see that? All right, I want to tell you something. Based on this verse, I'm going to do something a little prophetically right now. I renounce in the name of Jesus the small-mindedness that's cursed the body of Christ. I break it in the name of Jesus. And I declare, Lord, Your measure, Your truth to be our guide and not comparison to other people or other churches or other groups. I renounce small-mindedness. I declare in the name of Jesus that our God is not too small. Holy Spirit, come and reveal how big Jesus is. I pray for revelation right now for you to hear and to see how big Jesus is in your life. His love, His power, His peace, His joy. All right, now let me just say this in the form of a question, because a lot of times God will use questions to stir our conscience, okay? Are you ready? If your problem's too big, your view of Jesus is too small. I got to say it again. If your problem's too big, your view of Jesus is too small. One more verse. You got time for one more verse? Okay. Now to Him, this is talking about the Lord, who by in the consequence of and the action of power that is at work within us, He is able to carry out purpose and to do super abundantly. Can you say that word with me? Super abundantly. Is anyone here interested in the power of God doing super abundantly in your life? I am too. He is too. He is three. Now let me tell you something. It's a consequence of. Did you see that? It's a consequence of. In other words, it's a byproduct. It's a byproduct of you cooperating with the work of God in you. Okay, now I know that it's popular for Christians to look at this verse and say, oh, there's a power source in me. It's abundant to do far above all I ask or think. Well, yes, there is, but there's a condition to it. You've got to cooperate with the work of God in you. If you don't cooperate with the work of God in you, you are not going to receive the superabundantly work in your life. Well, I nearly got knocked down with amens. It's very easy for you to cooperate because Jesus paid the price for it. The Holy Spirit is present to help you. But I want to tell you something. We've got to have the byproduct, the result of saying yes to Jesus, to receiving and operating and our roots being founded in His love. You're not going to get to the superabundant power operating in your life without the depths of His love operating in your life. His love is connected to His power. Does anybody see that? If not, we're going to have another sermon on this. Look at the way it's described superabundantly. Far over and above all that we dare ask or think. Now, I can dream big. I can pray big. I think it honors heaven for you to pray the impossible. But I'm here to tell you something. God's dream for your life is way bigger than your dream. That's how big His love is. And He wants to superabundantly manifest it through your life, beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. Wow. That's just like Jesus. He's the God of the much more. And He wants to do the much more in our life. You know what that spells? Superabundantly spells supernatural. How does it happen? By us? No, it's by Him. We just cooperate. And we receive. And it's His power working in us. It's His power working in you. Do you recognize supernatural? Well, I want to tell you, we've got to turn our focus from this level to the invisible level and see Jesus in the Word and let the Lord love on us and grow in love life with the Lord. One of the ways that we describe whether or not you love the Lord is, are you enjoying the Lord? Because I want to tell you, if I were to stand up here and tell you, and it's true, that I'm in love with this beautiful blonde. I know there's many of them in the building. This one on the front row here. I'm in love with this beautiful blonde. I'm in love and all shook up. But if I were to tell you I was in love with her, but I didn't enjoy her. If I told you I was in love with her, but I didn't want to spend time with her. If I told you that I love her, but I don't have intimacy with her, what would you say about me? You're a liar. I want to tell you something. This is why we want to teach you to fall in love with the Lord. Because when you fall in love with the Lord, it's not a pain journey. It's a pleasure journey of getting to know Him better and better. Enjoying and receiving His love. And out of His love life, comes power, comes supernatural. And you know what? It's not from you grunting or flexing a muscle to receive it. You know what? It happens. It happens. You go, wow. I was sharing a miracle with some pastors this weekend, and they said, wow. I said, I say that a lot in my journey. I'm continually going, wow, at the goodness of God. The love life of the Lord. Anybody else want to give God praise today? Amen and amen. Let's praise ye the Lord. Let me end up by praying for you right now. We'll just have a little time of prayer and we'll end this part of the service. But I'm going to ask you, if you will, just to bow your head and close your eyes and so you can focus on the Lord. And I just want to ask right now, is there anyone here that has not given your life, your heart to Jesus Christ? You've never made Him Lord of your life. Because that's the first place. And I'm going to do a public prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to do a public prayer. And if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, would you just raise your hand and I want to pray with you publicly just right here. All right, publicly but privately, okay? Who would like to be first to raise your hand? Okay, now I want to ask, is there anyone here that wants to receive power and love life from the Lord like never before? I want to tell you there's deeper levels. I want to tell you, Jesus said we have not because we ask not. I want to tell you, if you want it, He already wants it. It's on. And you know what? You don't have to grunt to receive it. He's paid the price for us to just welcome His love and power. Okay, number of hands, I'm praying for you right now. Lord Jesus, I want to thank You for those that need to receive You. And in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now, Lord, we give our life to You. Thank You for the price You paid on the cross for our sins. Lord, we turn our heart to You, away from ourselves, away from the world, and to You. And Lord, we receive Your forgiveness. We receive the fresh blood of Jesus cleansing our sin forever. And we thank You for the precious gift of everlasting life. You're our Lord. You're our Savior. And we're Yours. And Lord, I pray for each one that wants to experience and know in a deeper way Your love and Your power. And I just pray over them in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. And I release, Lord, Your power and Your love to be manifested in the heart and the life of each one who's got their heart turned towards You. I say yes in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just release Your love touch, Your fresh touch of love upon each heart and each life. And Lord, we say yes. I pray for a witness of Your Spirit, a hunger, a thirst, a touch of Your love. And I pray in the name of Jesus for a touch of Your power to be released in them, to know that they know that His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is overwhelming them with love, with power, with presence right now. I claim it. We speak it. We release it. We agree for it to be so in the name of Jesus. And we give You praise. And all the people said, amen, amen, and amen. Let's get